I am going to be asking some questions tonight, and I need some communication, right? So here's how this works. When you're going to answer a question, you're going to put your hand up. If you end up with a ball, you get to answer a question. Right? So that's how it works, okay? Here's the thing. If none of you want to answer a question, or if I see one of you just doesn't want to contribute and answer a question, you might get hit with a ball. In which case, you've got to answer the question. Okay? Does that sound like a fair enough deal?
Yeah.
I think that's a fair enough deal. Now, here's the thing. We might have a few things we need to answer, so there might be a few things getting thrown around. I don't think there's anything really breakable up here. So I think we're okay. So we'll see how we go. Alrighty. So just a little bit about me. My name's Luke. My name's Luke Highland. I won't tell you my middle name, but my daughter will quite happily. She quite thrives in that. I've been saved for about 20 years. Is there anyone that goes, I don't know what you're talking about? Cool. All right. That answers a lot of questions for me. And absolutely none for you, right? Yeah, you still don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I'm married. I have 6 children. 2 of them are here. The rest are left at home. And home is down at Tanham Sands. Does anyone go, I don't know what you're talking about? Yeah, cool. That's good. So Tanham Sands is a long way from here. Drive that way. And you'll probably just go straight past it. If you want to know where Tanham Sands is, this man here can tell you, Tokoa. He'll tell you where Tanham Sands is. That way I don't have to. And you can talk to him. And you don't like me right now, right? Yeah. All right, so there's a little bit about me. Camp's a bunch of fun. I've seen you've been having a bunch of fun. I've been having a bunch of fun. And there's a bunch of stuff that's just fun. It's not serious. It's just for having fun. And a bunch of you have come here for a whole lot of different reasons, right? All sorts of different reasons as to why you're here. And tonight, here in this room, we can have some fun. But just because we're having fun doesn't mean it's not serious, okay? So there's some stuff you're doing that isn't serious. There's some stuff you're going to be doing this week that it's not serious. It's just fun. But here, if we can have some fun, but it's serious as well, okay? So this is important. This is an important place. You got your books? Some of you don't. And camp leaders, I need your help with this. I got some questions that I need in your books, okay? So I need you to grab your pens. I need you to grab your camp books. And I need you to go right towards the second last page, and you'll find some extra notes. Now, here's the thing. You get points for taking notes in the sermons and the times of speaking when I'm talking to you and talking, teaching you out of the Bible. You get some points for the notes you put down here. I don't know if you get any points for the extra notes. Where is the man? That, like, extra notes, so that means everyone gets points tonight. So, you know, I'll leave that in your court. You can think about it for a little bit. All right, so, have you got your pens? Have you got your notes? Here's what I want you to write down. I want you to write down some questions, okay? Here's my first question that I want you to write down. And this one, the reason I'm going to ask you this one is the Bible says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That the Word of God built this world. So what I want you to write down is, do I believe God made me? I want you to write that down. Camp leader, if you need some help, put your hand up and your camp leader will come over and help you. If you need some help, you need it written down. There's our... Oh, missed again. It's just bad luck for you. We'll just go boom, boom, boom. Can you write him down? Or get someone to write him down? These are going to be handy. Don't fall asleep on me. What's your name, buddy? You're Daniel? And your name?
Nathaniel.
Sorry, Nathaniel. I was aiming for Daniel. But clean missed. I'm not a very good shot, so look out. You might get hit with the ball when you don't want to. Write this down. Do I believe God made me? Second one, do I believe God loves me? Do I believe God loves me? Get that written down in your book, buddy. If you can't, it's not yours, that's yours. Whose book's that one? Oh, okay. God loves me. Do I believe God loves me? We got six questions, so we're just going to run through them quick. Do I believe God made me? Do I believe God loves me? Here's another one. Do I know God has begun to work on me? And when I say no, what I'm asking is, can you see it? Can you point to something where that was God speaking to me? Yeah, buddy? That's all right. You write my questions down, and we'll get to explaining some of this real quick, okay? Yeah, mate? Do I know God is working on me? Have you ever worked on something? Have you ever had a school assignment? Have you ever had an art project? Have you ever had something you're making, a cubby house? And you go out there and you just think about it. If that cubby house could talk to you, would it know that you were working on it? I mean, you go out there with a saw, with a hammer, you start banging away, and that cubby house is like, oh, someone's working on me. So when you got to ask yourself, do I know God's working on me? Here's another one. Do I want God working on me? Do I want God working on me? I want you to write the questions down. I want you to ask yourself the questions. And I want you to see if you can answer them this week. Do I want God working on me? Two more. Here's one. Why have I come to camp? I want you to write down the question, why have I come to camp? Why are you here? Some of you are here because Mum said, you're going to camp. Maybe that's what you need to write down. Maybe you came for friends. Maybe you came for some fun, for something to do. Why are you at camp? Last question. You ready? Why has God brought me to camp? Why has God brought me to camp? Alrighty. No, that is the last one I gave you. Why has God brought me to camp? Now, these are questions for you. You can write the answer down in your book if you want. You can just answer it in your head. I want you to have the questions written down. And leaders, if you can, just check with you, with the, particularly the younger ones, get them down in there so the questions are in their book throughout the week. Make sure they're there. Because it's important. Not just why you want to be here, but why has God got you here? Okay? All right, so now we're going to talk about some things. We're going to go back to what I started to say to you about me being saved. Some of you know exactly what that means. You got a question? Why has God got me at camp? Why has God brought me to camp? Why does God, what's God's purpose in me being here? All right. So we're going to spend some time in the Bible. That's why you've got a Bible. This is what we're going to spend some time looking at each night, each morning. We're going to spend some time in the Bible. But before we do, we're going to have a word of prayer. Some of you know what prayer is and what it's all about. Some of you just don't. So we're going to pray, but the reason we're going to pray is because there's someone here you can't see. There's someone who's been here before you were here. It is God. And you know, I'm here talking to you tonight. I'm here preaching the Bible to you and teaching you from the Word of God. But let me tell you, you don't need to hear from me tonight. You need to hear from God. You need God to speak to you. You need God to work on you. So what we're going to do at the start of each time, I need to pray that the Lord would help me, and you need to pray that God might speak to you. Now, if you don't know anything of what I'm talking about, if you're like, that doesn't make any sense to me, then trust me just a little bit and go, I'm going to pray with this man anyway. Because he's asked me to. Just because of that. Just because he said, hey, will you pray with me? I'm going to pray that God would help me and I want you to pray that God would help you. Can we do that? Can we do that? All right, well, let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes, and we'll talk to the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, I do thank you. I praise you, Lord, we can come together tonight and just spend this time, turn this dining room, this hall, into the house of God. And Lord, as I try and preach tonight, I pray you'd help me. I pray you'd speak through me, Lord. And Lord, as these kids, as they sit and listen, I pray, Lord, they wouldn't hear me. I pray they'd hear from you. I pray, dear Lord, you'd give them ears to hear. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege it is to be yours. And I ask you to speak to these hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. It's in the New Testament, right towards the end. Philippians chapter 1. If you don't know your Bible, go towards the end of the whole Bible and find Philippians. If you know where to find it and you see someone's having trouble, if you see Ephesians, you're close. If you see Thessalonians, you've gone a bit far. Go back a bit. That's a little bit too far. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Is where we need to be. I don't know, because my Bible's got different pages to your Bible. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, once you've found it, we are going to be back here tomorrow morning. We're going to be back here tomorrow night. We're going to be back here the next morning. We're going to be back here the next night. So mark that page. Put your notebook in there. Put a slip of paper in there. Cut a finger off and log it in there. I mean, you got plenty of them, so you know, just mark it somehow. All right? Philippians. All right. Found your place? Let's go. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Nice and quiet while I read this out, guys. Being confident of this very thing. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you. Hands up if you have ever begun a work. If you can read that and go, begun a work, I can think of something I have begun. Oh, you've got to catch the ball. Okay, guys, when the ball's coming, you've got to catch it, all right? If it's coming your way, it's heading for you. You ready? Here we go. All right. And another one up the back. All right. What's the work you've begun? Right, begun writing a book. All right, you got to throw them back. You begun writing a book. What have you begun? Begun talking to some of your friends about Jesus. Good job. Anyone else got one? Okay, doing a job trying to get the whole way through. That's good work to do. Learning how to play the piano. Mr. Smith. And what's the work you've begun? Begun writing a book as well. Writing a book as well. Hey, whoa. The Bible says here, there's a fellow by the name of Paul that God used to write this book, Philippians. It's a letter to the church at a place called Philippi. And so he wrote a letter, and God used him as he wrote the letter and gave him what to write. And he says, I'm confident of this very thing, that he which began a work in you. Who do you think the Bible might be talking about beginning a work? God. You got to put your hand up. You can't answer unless you got the ball. Who might it be? Sorry? God. It's talking about God beginning a work. Confident that he that began a good work in you. If you are if you're happy to, put your hand up if you can go, yeah, God began a work in me. If you can go, yeah, I know God began a work in me. Have a look around. If you're comfortable to, hands down, if you're comfortable to, put up your hand if you go, I don't know if God has begun a work in me. Is there anyone who says, I just don't know if he has? The Bible says, yeah, thanks guys, thank you for your honesty. That's good to, it's good. The Bible says here that Paul was confident that this crowd of people at this town of Philippi, that God had begun a work in them. I wonder what that means. That's a funny way to say things. He was confident that he began a good work in them. Go back to verse 5. See how you got the numbers there on the side of the page? Go back to verse 5 and have a look in your Bibles there at verse 5. It says, for your fellowship in the gospel from this day until now. Paul was praying and he was mindful of them. He was making requests to God for these people at the church at Philippi. And he was talking about the fact that they were in fellowship of the gospel with him. All right, let's just break this down a little. Fellowship. Who can help me out with fellowship? Oh, you caught it that time. What's your name? Faith. I will ask you that several times. What is fellowship? Spending time with people. Good job. Anyone else? What's fellowship? Gathering together with believers, perhaps? Oh, having fun with people? I nearly dove. That would have gone bad. Anyone else? How about even, I'm even happy for some of the adults to help answer this. Fellowship. What's fellowship? Teamwork. I like that idea. To understand each other? Yeah, perhaps we could use that. Lacey? Sorry? Yeah, like sometimes after church we have lunch together. We call that fellowship lunch, don't we? What do we got, big fella? Building each other up. Building each other up. You know how... Oh! That's why we're not using shot puts. That's why we're not using them. So, here's how I like to think about and remind myself about what fellowship is. I like to think of it, and I think it's a pretty accurate way of what fellowship is. Fellows, people, in the one ship. But it ain't a cruise ship. It's not a P&O, layback, float around the ocean ship. It's an old school sailing ship where if you're on that thing, you got to make it work. You've got to sail that vessel. See, just you campers, just look up the back for a minute. You see a bunch of old people up there, right? Don't turn around, Linny. I'm talking about you, Linny. You're not here anymore. You pair looking back there like, oh, that's them back there. Yes, you right there. You're the old people now. But you know what these guys are doing? Do you know what these guys are doing? They are laboring for you. They're the ones that are making this work, right? If there wasn't this, there wouldn't be camp. You couldn't just be here on your own. Now, here's a thought for you. You know what my opinion is? My opinion is this, that those guys are going to get, in a sense, a bunch more fellowship this week than you guys are. You know why? Because they're working and you're playing. Now, that's what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be here playing. You're supposed to be having fun. You're supposed to be enjoying yourselves. But Paul said to the church here, he said, you're a fellowship in the gospel. You work in the gospel. What's the gospel? Help me out with the gospel tonight. Help me out with someone else. There you go, buddy. What do we got in the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of a man named Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. What do you got in the gospel? Okay, the gospel's got to do with church. Good job. Anyone else on the gospel? Oh, you've got to keep your eyes open. They're coming quick. The Word of God. The gospel's in the Word of God. That's a good place to go for it. Gospel means good news. That's what the word means. You know, I learned something the other day. In the olden days over in Rome where there was the Caesars and the Roman army and the shields and, you know, and they drank grape juice and they wore skirts and all of that, right? It used to be when that Caesar went off into war somewhere and had a big victory, he'd send some news back about how he won. And you know what they called it? They called it the Gospel of Caesar. It was the good news of the battle he'd won over there somewhere. Hey, I got some good news. You know what it is? I'm not dead. That's what we want to say to your parents at the end of camp. Just bear that in mind. We got some good news. Your child's not dead, okay? No one wants to ring up and say, I'm sorry, Mr. and I'm sorry, Mrs., we broke your child. Okay? No one wants to make that phone call. So, Sam, watch yourself, boys. You'll get hurt. So, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, you asked me, you said, what are you talking about getting saved? I'll talk about this more and more this week, but let me give you this little nugget for now. I was lost. I was lost, and the journey I was on was going to end in a place called hell. Because I was lost, and I didn't know how to go the right way. And I was heading to hell. And Jesus found me and set my feet on a narrow path that led, or is leading, to heaven, that led to the kingdom of God, to a place of life. I was heading to a place of death, and I was living in death in a sense, and God sent me towards life. You know what that means? That means He saved me. Some of you said, what do you mean He saved you? I asked a man, he was an old man, I said, have you ever been saved before? He said, yeah, I'm saved. I went, praise the Lord. He said, I was in a ship once and it was sinking, and someone sent along a life raft and saved me out of there. And I thought, that's not quite what I was asking you about. So I talked to him about getting saved from his sin. But you know what he said? He said, well, I don't need saving from that. He didn't even know he was lost. So what we're talking about here is being the Lord saved me. And you know what? When he saved me, he made me a fellow laborer. He put me in a group of people that have fellowship of the gospel. Made me a part of a group of people that were working for the gospel of Christ. You know what we call that? Hands up if you know what we call a group of people that are gathering together for the purpose of the gospel. Oh, who can I throw it hard at? Oh, Faith, don't put your hand up there. No. Oh, there. And coming up there. Oh! What do we got? Where'd he go? What is it? Christians, good job. And what do we call Christians when they gather together?
The church.
The church. Nice work. All right. So, here we have a group of people that Paul said this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you, he that has begun to work on you, putting you into the fellowship of the gospel, putting you into this group of people that are laboring and working and striving and serving for the gospel. He said, God began a work in you. I'm not going to ask you to go. You don't know. I'll tell you where I'm going. You don't have to go there. Stay in Philippians. If it's a bit of hard work getting to where we're looking for, you can stay in Philippians. But I'm going to Acts chapter 9 if you want to go there. Acts chapter 9. What happens in Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. What happens in Acts chapter 9, Pastor Buddy?
Saul of Tarsus is converted to Christ.
A man named Saul. A man named Saul got saved. He was converted to Christ. He was on his way to hell and God changed him. He was converted. All right, so Acts chapter 9. Find your place in verse 4. We're not taking much, just Acts chapter 9, verse 4. Oh, and 5. Hands up if you're homeschooled. So you can't count the same as me, right? Because I was homeschooled. So I get my numbers mixed up. I just wanted to make sure I was in good company, okay? Acts chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Did someone say we're supposed to be in Acts chapter 8? Because I was going to say, go for your life. Have that. No, I was just kidding. Now, Acts chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what persecuting is? Yeah. Where's someone who would like to get an illustration of persecution upon them? Who would like some persecution tonight? All right, you look like you could handle some persecution. Every now and then I'm going to walk up here and just do this. Okay, every now and then. And you know what it's going to be? It's just going to be persecution. He doesn't deserve it, but he's just going to get it every now and then. Can I have it back? Because I've got to throw it at your face in a minute. All right. All right, so persecution. Paul was persecuting the church, only he was probably using shot put. You know, not Woolworth's squishy, unusual, yeah, funny looking things. So, here we go. Now, as we look at this, Paul was persecuting the church. He was persecuting Christ. And so this voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he said this, It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Huh. God spoke to him and said, You've been finding it hard that I've been pricking you. Do you know what God had started to do on Saul of Tarsus ages before? He'd started to just going, trying to get his attention and just constantly at him going, I want to talk to you. I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to, will you, Paul, Paul. And eventually, on this road to Damascus, God spoke to him. I've never been to Damascus, but I've been to a place called Injun. Hands up if you've ever been to Injun. You've been to... No. Injun's a place. Injun's a place. Do you know what your dad said to me? He said... No, your dad. Do you know what your dad said to me? He said he went there in July. That's a bad dad joke. I think it was your dad. Yeah. I think I got the right girl. But Injun is a town, and I was on the road to Injun. I was on the road to Injun, and God spoke to me. Not quite the same way he spoke to Saul, but he spoke to me. But you know what God had been doing long before he spoke to me? Long before he spoke to me, I was walking around just, and God was, and I was, oh, you moved! And God was, and he was trying to get my attention. God was trying to get my attention. God was trying to get my attention, and he was prodding me. So I asked you, got you to write down a question. Can I see, do I know God is working on me? Because he wants to begin a work on you. I asked you, why did you come to camp? And I asked you, why did God bring you to camp? He wants to begin a work on you like he did on Saul of Tarsus. He wants to do a work on you like he did on Saul of Tarsus. Here, God was working. And you know what? Did anyone notice the weed out the front? I wanted to use the wheat. I was thinking we might go out there and we might stand amongst the wheat and we might look at the wheat and the sunflowers coming up amongst the wheat. And I looked out there this afternoon and it was cut down. I mean, it's just gone. The wheat's gone. Okay, God doesn't want me to do that. But you know, in amongst that wheat, there were some weeds. What would you have to do to go from being a weed to a wheat? What would you have to do to go from weed to wheat? So if you harvest milk thistle, it becomes wheat. Yeah, I don't know how it works. What would you have to do to go from being a weed to being wheat? Cut it down and plant some wheat. But then you're getting rid of the weed and planting something different. How about sheep and goats? What would you have to do to go from being a goat to being a sheep? What would you have to... Hang on, have I given you any... Come on now. What would you have to do? If you cut off a goat's horns, it turns into a sheep? Don't cut... See, we can do some things. You know what? What's your name? You know what Michaela's talking about? She's going, how can I make a goat look like a sheep? That's not what I asked. What would you have to do to make a goat a sheep? Isaac, and yeah, up the back there. Oh, hey, intercept. Nice intercept, but pass it over. Good job. What have we got? It's impossible. You cannot make a goat, a sheep, out of a goat.
What we,
change its name. You know what? A rose by any other name is still a rose. And you know what? You call a goat something else other than a goat. If you call a goat a cat and put it in your lounge room, you're going to find it eating your fridge. You don't want to do that. So, one other place. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. So I got this bad habit of never finishing my sermons. It's going to be that we're halfway through and we're about done. Okay, we're about to finish up. We're not getting all this done tonight. John chapter 3, verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily. Are you there yet? I'll give you a bit of time. Jesus answered. Are we there yet? Nope. Verily, verily. Okay, the turning of pages has slowed, so let's go. Except, all right, nice and quiet for this. Except a man be born again. Sorry, be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. So the Bible here, I went wheat and weeds because the Bible talks about wheat and weeds. I went sheep and goats because the Bible talks about sheep and goats. The Bible talks about spirit and flesh. And let me tell you something. If you have only ever been born once, hands up if you've never been born. Did you really just go there? The mere fact you have a hand to put in the air means you've been born, okay? You've been born. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Listen up. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. God wants to do a work on you. God wants to begin a work on you. Some of you have said, God has begun a work on you. Others of you have said, I don't think God has begun a work on me. God was talking here to all of mankind. And in talking to mankind, he said, you must be born again. See, I told you about how I was on my way lost to hell. And God found me. But for me to be able to be a child of God, for me to be able to be saved, for me to be able to be on my way to heaven, for me to be able to live life the way God planned it, and life more abundantly, the true life that God intended for each and every one of us, He had to change me from a weed to wheat. And that's what? Don't finish my sermon, bro. He had to change me. He had to change me from a goat to a sheep. He had to change me from just flesh to being born of the Spirit. A spiritual life in Christ. And some of you say, I got no idea what you're talking about. And let me tell you something. That is why God has got you at camp. Because He needs you. He desires for you. His purpose for you is that you would be born again. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news that He can take you from all that you're not and create in you a clean heart. He can set your feet upon a rock. He can translate you from darkness to light and make you His child. Can I say something to you tonight? You can't do that. I don't know why you're at camp. But all fun aside, I want you to ask yourself, why has God got me at camp this week? What does God want to change in me? What does God want to do in me? And I want you to ask yourself a question. Will you let Him do it? Will you turn to God and let Him work on you? Regardless of what you know, how long you've known it, will you let God do a work on you? You know what Jesus wants me to be? He wants me to be like Him. He wants me to be like Him. You know what Jesus wants you to be? He wants you to be like Him. So with all the fun, you older lads, you older girls, you younger boys, you younger girls, in all the fun this week, take some time to stop and go, will I let God talk to me? Do I even want Him to? I appreciate it that you let me talk to you. I really do. But if you come here all week and the only person you ever hear is me and you don't hear from God, it's not because He's not talking to you. It's because you're not listening. So if I can ask you this week to listen to God, listen to the sound of His voice, see what He's got to say to you, see what He might want to do with you this week. So we're going to pray. I'm going to close with a word of prayer and I'm going to hand over to Cam. And he'll finish off the night. So let's go on. And as I pray, guys, you can just sit and listen to me pray and agree with me in prayer. But maybe some of you will want to pray yourselves and go, Lord, talk to me. I want you to talk to me. I want you to work on me. So seek the Lord tonight. Seek the Lord this week. See if He doesn't talk to your heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You. I praise you, dear Lord, for everything you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for helping me tonight. Lord, as you work this week, I pray, Heavenly Father, you give these kids ears to hear. Lord, I pray that this week you would do a work in the hearts of each and every one that's here. I thank you, Jesus, for your word. I thank you for your love for us. I pray, Lord, that this week we would hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.